is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Wednesday, July 24th, 2024, here on ESPN 106.7. Hope you are doing well on this. What was a pretty nice day outside. It's become a little overcast here in the Auburn Opelika area, and I have not checked the weather. I mean, they called for rain every day this week, and so I just kind of quit looking, but it looks like it may be going to get in a little Wow, there's a lot of weather coming through. How about that? As I pull up the radar, looks like it's going to get nasty into the afternoon, and we may miss some of the other stuff. So if it does, just be careful if you're out driving around. If you happen to get off a little bit early, get home and do what you got to do. Never, ever use me as your weatherman. I'll tell you that all the time. But other than that, we got a lot going on today. And we got a lot to talk about here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. You got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. We are 38 days away from the start of Auburn football, and even sooner than that from college football on this Wednesday afternoon. We normally have Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, who is our Georgia guy that joins us on Wednesday afternoons to talk about the Georgia Bulldogs. But we talked to him last week. We had him on in person at SEC Media Days, and since there hasn't really been a whole lot to happen in between last week and this week, we're going to take the week off from him. We're going to pick back up after what's a busy recruiting weekend now that the dead period is done, right, that everything is getting done here on this 24th. So we'll have a big weekend to discuss with him next week. Also, fall practice will be getting underway, so we're going to take a week off from Jordan Hill, but don't worry. I have some exclusive Hugh Freeze, Bruce Pearl audio that I have can play for you where I was able to catch up with them, me and a few other media members from Dallas last week at the Dallas Ambush event. So got that coming up for you at 2:30. And then as I told you yesterday, in hour number two, starting at 3 o'clock today, Christian Clemente of Auburn 247 will be in the studio to preview Big Cat Weekend. That's right, on Auburn Undercover, Auburn 247, Christian Clemente, our recruiting guru, will be joining us in studio in about an hour from now to preview everything and tell you everything you need to know going into Big Cat Weekend. So looking forward to that. Until then, though, phone lines are open. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about on this Wednesday afternoon? 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to me. Call in, be a part of the show, and be on the line. 334-321-1390. You can also text me if you have thoughts, questions, concerns there as well in the On the Line text box. That number is 334-784-1067. And Big Cat Weekend is coming up here on the Plains, and it will begin tomorrow. Guys can begin coming in. And you'll probably start to hear about that tomorrow evening. Friday will be busy. Saturday will be busy. And then everybody will be getting out of town on Sunday. And we're going to get into all of that, a lot of the details of that in hour two with Christian when he's in here. And so looking forward to that conversation. But one guy that Auburn fans have been on for quite some time that is committed elsewhere that Auburn felt pretty good about for a while, and they continue to wonder if he's going to be at Big Cat Weekend, is the Mississippi wide receiver, Alabama commit Caleb Cunningham. And he tweeted out earlier today around 12 o'clock, "I will not be at Big Cat Weekend." And I know that's a guy that a lot of you were excited about. I was too. All right, I was too. And this is a receiver from next door that Auburn went after, and they went after him hard. It was a guy that they were trying to pull away from Ole Miss and Mississippi State, best receiver in the state of Mississippi, one of the best receivers in the 2025 class. And look, when you go to his X account, Twitter account, he's got, you know, he's got Alabama football in his bio. He's got hashtag RTR with the elephant picture. I mean, he's got it all there. And I fully expect him to stay with that commitment for now. And as of now, and Christian may change my mind later on, but from what I've heard, that seems to be pretty solid. That seems to be pretty locked in. And so we'll get it, like I said, we'll get into the weeds of who's going to be here this weekend, who we can expect to be here this weekend, and then ultimately what you can expect some of those results to be once Big Cat Weekend finalizes when we get back on the air on Monday. But other than Caleb Cunningham, a guy that we do not expect to be here, I do think this weekend for Big Cat, I think it's going to be bigger than people are anticipating. And when I say people, I'm talking those on the outside. All right, I'm talking about those people that don't cover Auburn in Auburn on a daily basis. That's why I'm bringing in Christian today. I believe the Drive will have Jason Caldwell on. He's normally on Wednesdays with them. And so you'll get back-to-back hours of just full Big Cat preview, which is going to be really, really good. So that's why you tune in here on ESPN 106.7. And just those on the outside have kind of written Auburn off a little bit, right? Auburn got real hot in recruiting. They picked up a lot of guys, of course, in that 24 class where they made up some ground. And then 2025 got off to a really, really good start. And Auburn was a top 10. They were pushing top 5. Like, things were going well, right? And then Auburn lost a few of those commits. And look, it happens when you have guys committing in April and May. Things are going to change, and there's still time for that to happen. But going into this upcoming weekend, this Big Cat weekend, outside of us here in Auburn, I feel like people aren't talking about what this weekend could be. And I feel like people outside of Auburn have forgotten what Big Cat Weekend can do and just how big and successful it's been since it got implemented, what, a little bit over a decade ago, right? This is a fantastic event, and we'll get into the details with Christian later, but just expect it to be big. That's all I can tell you. That's what I can say, is expect it to be big. I think you're going to see a combination of Auburn commits that are here, uncommitted guys that are here, and even guys that are committed elsewhere that will be here this weekend. And as we were saying the other day, believe it was me and Uncle T-Bone on Monday, if you've got somebody that's committed to, I don't know, Ohio State or another SEC school or a USC or anything like that, committed anywhere else, and they're taking this weekend to come down to Big Cat, that's a pretty good sign. That's a pretty good sign. So keep that in mind as you continue to get updates this weekend, whether you're doing it via social media or if you're subscribed to one of the different sites, whatever you're doing, just keep that in mind. And just because they're here, all right, can we set some expectations here for a second? Just because they're here does not mean they will commit this weekend. Even if Auburn's in the lead, even if Auburn has been in the lead for months, it doesn't mean that when they leave here or before they leave here, that they're going to be committed to Hugh Freeze and the Tigers. That's not what that means. We've seen crazy things in the past, right? You've seen guys who have pulled the trigger and decided, yep, now's the time. I'm going to do it. I'm going to commit and play for Auburn while I'm here at Big Cat Weekend. Some guys commit right before Big Cat Weekend and other recruiting events. I need to say that as well. Other SEC programs have these. You've got the cookouts and all the other mess going on. And so some guys like to commit before these weekends, and so they can kind of get hyped up a little bit and the excitement's around them because they just committed before the weekend started. Some guys do it while they're here. Some guys will do it on the way out, and other guys will use this weekend as just another recruiting visit. They're going to use it as a time to get here and check it all out again. And T-Bone and I were talking about this on Monday, and I'll reiterate this with Christian later, how this is a family event. This is a exciting, relaxing trip that these kids get to take. This is not, hey, let's come in and tour the facilities and talk about your game and talk about the style of offense we run and how it's going to work and the money. Like, that's not what this upcoming weekend is for. This is, hey, you got brothers and sisters? Okay, bring them with your parents and let's spend the weekend together. Let's take some time and get to know each other better. And this type of a weekend is what Hugh Freeze lives for. Lives for weekends like Big Cat. Because you heard him at SEC Media Days a week ago. He talked to us in private and even talked to everybody on the main stage. This is where he works the best. This is where he is his best, is in the living room with the families one-on-one. This is what he wants to do. And this is where he feels that he has the advantage over just about everybody because he knows how to make those personal relationships and he likes to talk to them and learn about them and get to know them and truly build a relationship beyond the football player. Get to know that kid, get to know his parents and his grandparents and his siblings and his cousins, whoever is around. Right, go to their hometown, eat their cooking, go to their high school and see their town. Like, that is what Hugh Freeze does so well. Sure, he's a good coach, and he develops pretty well, but he lives and breathes on, let me step foot in your front door, and let's sit down and have a conversation. Well, this weekend is basically just a reverse version of that. Instead of Hugh Freeze going to their living room, the recruits and their families are coming to his. And this is where he makes up ground. This is where the guys that Auburn may be lacking on a little bit that they have successfully brought to Big Cat, this is where you make up that ground. Those guys that are sort of on the fence, this is where you push them to the correct side and convince them that Auburn is where they want to be. And for those guys that are heavy Auburn favorites or already committed to Auburn, this is where you reinsure, hey, you made the right decision. And the good thing about that, okay, the good thing about bringing guys like Alvin Henderson back to Big Cat, who is committed to Auburn, those are extra recruiters, man. Those are the Walker Whites of the world that are going to do everything they can to get other guys to come with them. And Alvin Henderson's been talking on social media. He sees the disrespect that Auburn's getting from the national media, from other SEC medias, about how nobody's talking about Auburn or they think it's going to be an underwhelming Big Cat weekend. Alvin Henderson's been talking. And he's going to be here on campus, and he's going to be talking his tail off. You better believe it. Because guys like him have a little pull, right? They carry some weight when they start talking. And so, all of that being said, you're building up for what's a really, really big weekend. Because now, right, you start looking at the calendar here. You've got this. You've been in a dead period for the last month, from June 24th to today and July 24th. You've been in that dead period for a month. And now, you've got your last big hurrah before you get into fall practice. And we know Hugh Freeze. He's still going to talk. He's still going to call. He's still going to visit when he can and have guys there if it allows, right, if it's able to happen. But the season's right here. The season begins next month. We're 5 weeks out from Auburn beginning their football season. And the only other time that Freeze and the coaches are going to have to get out of Auburn in terms of recruiting is when either they're on the road and maybe have time, which doesn't happen a whole lot, or on your bye week. And this year, every team has two. So this is your last big chance to get out and make a statement. And luckily, you don't have to go anywhere. They're all coming to you. And we're going to see numerous lists, and you're going to see guys that say they'll be here and they won't, and you're going to see guys that show up that nobody had any idea were going to be here. That's happened in the past too, which that's a good thing, right? That's a great thing when guys show up that were not even predicted to be here. Not going to say weren't invited, but weren't really predicted to show up for Big Cat. This borderline, my point to all of this is when good things happen this weekend, we won't be surprised. You should not be surprised. Everybody else will be. Oh, wow, look at what Hugh Freeze did. Can't believe they pulled big-time recruits at Big Cat Weekend. What a miracle. Wrong. Wrong. It's not a miracle. It's not a grace of God. It's not an act of God. It's not anything that we don't expect for those that know. I know, you know, and the people around this program know. How good can it be? I guess we're going to find out. But when everybody outside starts acting surprised and starts to get a little worried and starts hyping up Hugh Freeze and they completely turn their line of thinking and the way they speak about him again, because that's how most media people work. That's how they roll. That's how they do. They're going to change their voice. They're going to change what they say and how they say it to fit what the narrative is, to fit what most of the public thinks, because they want to be liked. I tell you like it is. It's the truth. But I'm telling you right now, don't be surprised. Don't be fooled by when Auburn does big things in recruiting. Not just this weekend, but in the future. Because we've already seen it. We have proof of concept. And there's no reason to be surprised when big things happen for Auburn. I know we haven't seen it recently with previous regimes, but those guys are gone. And weekends like this with Big Cat, you're going to see why this was a good hire for Auburn. And then you start winning games, and you start getting bigger players, and you start beating bigger teams. You see how this all starts to snowball in a good way? You see how this starts to build into something bigger than it's been in a long time? That's what's riding on this weekend. It's not about player X or player Y. It's about the future of Auburn. And that's a lot to put on a weekend. There's no doubt about it. That's a lot of pressure on one weekend. But I promise you, that's how Hugh Freeze and this coaching staff are viewing this weekend as well. We'll talk a whole lot more about Big Cat coming up in hour number two when Christian Clemente of Auburn 247 joins us in the studio. Hopefully he gets over here, man. It's looking like a little nasty outside, starting to rain on this side of town. Get a little dark in the studio. That's okay. I won't turn the lights on. I like it dark. And we'll use the light of the natural window. Hopefully the weather doesn't get too bad here in Auburn. We'll take our first break in hour number one. Give me a call. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Back after this here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We continue on here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. I'm Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7. And it's that time of year, right? You've got all the media days going on from the SEC to the Pac-2. Yes, they did have a media day. I'm pretty sure they had an open bar at the media day. So I missed my invite in the mail on that one. You had the ACC media day and Big Ten media days is happening right now. And look, I'm not trying to be that guy, but I will be in this instance. If you have not seen it, and if you've seen it, you already know what I'm talking about, but I'm sure a lot of you maybe haven't seen it yet. UCLA's head football coach, Deshaun Foster, took the podium today, the main stage there at Big Ten Media Days, and was going to give his opening statement to, you know, talk about UCLA, talk about how he's a Hall of Famer from UCLA. He's been a coach there for a decade. He an associate head coach the last few years, and now he's the first-year head coach of UCLA football. And it seemed like he got hung up talking about, or trying to talk about, UCLA in the Big Ten. And I don't know what happened here. I really don't. I don't know if he got stage fright. I don't know if he is just not a great public speaker. I don't know if he just lost his train of thought, nervous. I don't know. I don't know what it was. But I want you to take a listen to this. It's about a minute long. This is brand new first-year head football coach Deshaun Foster of UCLA earlier today at Big Ten Media Days.
Coach Foster, welcome to the Big Ten. We'll begin with your opening statement.
How you guys doing? I'm happy to be here. Glad to be a part of this great conference. Finally putting two great emblems together, UCLA and the Big Ten. We're a school that's won, 123 championships, so this fits us being right in this conference. Football-wise, we're just excited. You know, I'm sure you guys don't know too much about UCLA, but our football program, but we're in LA. It's us and USC. I'm just basically excited, really. That's it. Any questions?
Oof. Oh. Oh, that pains. That pains me to listen to it and to watch it. This poor guy got up here. And again, I don't know if he's just never been in this type of situation before where he's had to step up and talk to a bunch of media. But, oh my gosh, that was painful. I can't lie to you. And I do feel bad for him. I feel bad for the guy, Deshaun Foster, first-year head coach at UCLA, because he started on a nice trail, right? He was on the right track talking about UCLA and happy to be joining the Big Ten and joining two logos, historic logos together. And then he called the media out for saying, you probably don't know a whole lot about us or our football program. And the go-to fact that he wanted everybody to know was that they're from Los Angeles, California. But don't worry, USC's there too. Oh, goodness gracious. Look, I'm not trying to pick him apart, but that video's gone viral, and I feel bad for the guy. I do. Hopefully they get him some media training. Hopefully they kind of help this guy out, and maybe he needs to host his own media day when he gets back to Los Angeles and kind of restart and reset. Now, I have not seen the back end of that when he started answering questions. I don't know. All I know is I've seen that video posted on just about every sports page on X, and people are going after it. And look, I speak in public. I obviously do it on the radio every day. I speak at events. I do it quite often, and it's something that I had to really learn how to do. And even there are times I still get a little nervous, right? If I always say this, if you're not nervous, means you don't care. If you are nervous, it means you care, right? It means you care about what you're going to say and what you're doing. But can we get this guy some help, Mr. Deshaun Foster? And I'll admit this too, other than knowing that he played at UCLA and was an athlete at UCLA and now he is and he's been coaching there for a while, I don't know a ton about Deshaun Foster as a coach, as a person, anything like that. But yeah, that was not a great showing there for your first time to represent UCLA at Big Ten Media Days, especially right now where you're going to Big Ten Media Days, which is held in Indianapolis, and not what used to be the Pac-12 Media Days. And so, you know, you've got UCLA. You have USC, which, don't worry, Mr. Foster told you about them. And then Oregon and Washington are all there as well. And I don't expect UCLA, in terms of their football team this year, to be anything special. USC, I don't know, middle of the pack. Washington, middle of the pack, probably. I mean, they lost everybody, literally everybody, players, head coach, all the assistant coaches, like everybody's gone out of that program. And so I don't expect Washington to be a whole lot. Oregon's going to be the one out of that four that's joining the Big Ten this year. That's going to be the team to watch out for because, look, they'll probably be in the playoff. Will the Ducks from Oregon? I mean, they're a really, really good team, a really good program, an organization that could you say that they are benefiting from joining the Big Ten? Maybe over time? I don't know. Because the Pac-12 got pretty bad, but it got better here in the last couple of years. I think top to bottom last year, the Pac-12, and I may have said this, the Pac-12 was better than the Big Ten top to bottom a year ago. Historically, no, but recency bias would say otherwise. So, I don't know. Did Oregon and Washington benefit from going to the Big Ten, or will it hurt them over time? That's an interesting question to think about. When we come back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line, I've got some Hugh Freeze, Bruce Pearl interview audio that I got last week at a private ambush event there in Dallas. We'll have that for you and break it all down when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
On the Line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into the first hour here on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man Jacob Goetz with you during On the Line. And last week while we were in Dallas for SEC Media Days, the day before Hugh Freeze and the Auburn players spoke at actual Media Days, we had, and I say we, it was me and a couple of other the Auburn media members who were in town. We had the pleasure, and pleasure that it was, to join and be a part of the Dallas-Auburn ambush event. And what this was, it was the Auburn alumni group based out of Dallas, Texas. And the president and some of her members, they reached out to us and invited us to come and be a part of this. And we were able to sit down in a private setting before SEC Media Days. And we got to talk with Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, got to speak with athletic director John Cohen, and then got to have a mini press conference, basically in a very chill environment, chill setting, with Auburn men's basketball coach Bruce Pearl and Auburn head football coach Hugh Freeze. And so got that for you now. Haven't had a chance to play it yet, but I want to let you listen in on this. It's about 12, 13 minutes long. So take a listen to this. There's some good stuff in here from BP and from Hugh Freeze, and then we'll break it down here on ESPN.
Coach Freeze had recently announced that sold out of season tickets for a second consecutive year. You've been doing these ambush events. What have you really learned about the Auburn fan base in these first 2 years based on that stuff?
Incredible. It's one of the best home field environments in college football, and the faithfulness of the Auburn people to sell out our students. Don't want to forget them, because together they form the 80,000 plus that will be there every Saturday. And you know, it does come with, I think Bruce and I would both say, it makes you want to deliver because of their faithfulness to support our program so well. But it just speaks to the Auburn family and how faithful and loyal they are. And we're grateful that the job that Rhett Hobart and his staff do in pushing the ticket sales is a total team effort. But really thankful and pleased the support we receive from the Auburn fans.
Coach Pearl, you brought in some key guys in the portal this year, along with some two good guys in the recruiting class. Is there a correlation between what potentially could be a really tough non-conference schedule and how much of a veteran team? You've got a lot of seniors. Is there a relationship there, a correlation?
Yeah, we've always tried to play the toughest schedule we could play. Take last year. We scheduled Notre Dame, Indiana, USC, kind of thinking all three of those programs were returning NCAA tournament teams or national, powerhouses and sports across the board.
You've gone a little overboard this year, though.
I've gone overboard this year.
You must feel really good.
We got carried away.
I like that.
We got carried away.
You're older.
I am older. I'm not buying those green bananas anymore. I think the biggest thing is now you've got the program right now to the point where they want to match up against Duke. Match us up against Duke. Or we get a chance to go to the Maui Invitational with teams like UConn, Michigan State, and North Carolina, and that's the group that we're in. And then we've just made some decisions to try, and it's easier to get a program there than it is to keep a program there. And I think the best way for us to keep it there is to act like we belong there. And the only way you can act like you belong there is to play the best.
Coach, going back to the Duke matchup, growing up, going to a Duke basketball game is like a bucket list kind of thing. Can you talk about what it means to be able to have a game like that on your schedule and have a chance to go prove yourself on a national stage?
It's a bit of a bucket list for me. I mean, just a coach in that environment against a great program, great coaching staff. And, they're picked number one in the country by almost every poll. And so they've got three or four guys that have got a chance to be first rounders. And so, you know, our guys will be excited about the opportunity. We're going to have to really play well and play physically and play smart and, you know, make some shots. But it is definitely a bucket list. I've never coached there.
They got a guy scrimmaging with Team USA basketball, Terran.
Yeah, Cooper Flagg, yeah. He'll probably be the number one player taken in the NBA draft next year.
Coach Freeze, there is a lot of talk this week about how tough Jordan-Hare Stadium is to play in for opposing teams. Kirby Smart had some words about just how tough it is to be at Auburn. But big games on the schedule at home this year. Oklahoma coming into the SEC, A&M late in the season. What is it about Jordan-Hare and the fans that are there that you can take advantage of and try to win some of those games?
Yeah, we experienced some of that in some of the bigger games last year. You know, it's well documented. I've said our consistency wasn't what it should be. But in some of those bigger games against the better teams, I thought our fans and the energy in that stadium gave us a real chance if we could just get that thing to the fourth quarter. And unfortunately, we didn't make enough plays against the top-level competition last year to get us to the win column, which is disappointing. But that place is just special. You don't walk into many stadiums 2 hours before game time, and the entire student section is already packed. Bruce experiences that in Neville. He's done a great job of, and along with the students, of creating just a very, very home-friendly atmosphere that's difficult to play in. And Jordan-Hare is the same way. And appreciate the kind words that some of the coaches have said. But the compliments really go to our fans and our students.
He was going to ask you about the Maryland transfer you guys got, Finaji Kote.
You say his name better than I do. I think you were dead on with it. We're excited to get him. We need some depth there, and he's played a lot of snaps at a Power 5 school. Obviously, Coach Durkin knew of him and knew his family, and I just think we needed some extra depth there with experience. I really like our young linebackers. I do. But you're never quite sure exactly how those young ones are going to really perform the first time you roll out there in this league. And felt like, man, if we could get, you know, another guy, DB, and which we did from Colorado, and then another linebacker, that we'd feel a little bit better about our maturity in those rooms.
What's your expectation for somebody that comes in at this point? How quickly can they learn things? Yeah. What do you expect from them?
Well, the good things are both have done this. They've gone through installs, and they've run similar defenses because all of us run the same things, just call it different stuff. But and so you would hope that their learning curve. I met with DJ yesterday to go through the whole defensive roster, and he felt like that they were picking things up quickly, even though they've been here a very short time. We'll see in fall camp more of that and see how they do. But certainly they're not, you know, our other kids, man, spring practice and then going through an install every week in the few hours that we have to be with them are certainly ahead. But he felt really good about their football IQ and how they're picking up things.
Coach Reese, how do you feel about your team's physical conditioning headed into fall camp? Is your team healthy? Any notable injuries that you know about?
Obviously, I can't remember what's been reported and what hadn't. But Tyler Scott, we lost, unfortunately, to an ACL tear. And that we were already a little thin in the secondary, so we hate for that. And then Alex McPherson is dealing with, he's been diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome. We think there's more to it, but the doctors really hadn't been able to put an exact finger on it. He hadn't been medically released to do anything with us yet either. Other than those two, we're pretty healthy.
You feel good about Townsville being able to step in this place?
Well, if the spring game's any indication, we have great confidence in him, even though he's a freshman. I mean, I thought he stepped in that game and just was rock solid, and obviously has proven he's got the leg strength and all of that. And I'd love to have them both, and hopefully we will. You know, we're hoping that Alex is actually going to see a specialist tomorrow, and hopefully we can get that headed in the right direction.
Coach, Peyton Thorne's been a big topic in media days this week. What do you need to see from him before the season starts to get to where he needs to be?
I've been pleased with everything I've seen with him from January until now. I think what we need to see from him is a lot of people around him making plays when the opportunity arises, and him making the correct decisions and throwing accurate balls. and deciphering whether it's a run or a throw and what we're trying to do. And I'm really a Peyton Thorne fan as a leader and as a young man. And I'm excited and cautiously optimistic that you're going to see a good product from him.
Perry Thompson, now on campus, didn't go through spring, but obviously incredibly talented. Yeah. Does it change how you coach a true freshman that doesn't go through spring when you probably want to use him this fall?
Yeah, he's got to spend a lot more time on his own studying the installs. He's, you know, a little behind, but again, this is not something that's really new to football. I mean, it used to be that's when you got them all and you still got them ready. And so you're just never sure how freshmen are going to respond, really. And Perry is talented. He's going to be a heck of a football player. I hope he does it in year one. But it's a little early to tell, and I certainly don't want to cast unreal expectations on a freshman who's going to roll out and play against, you know, arguably some of the best athletes in the country that play corner. I mean, those are some really good athletes, and some of them are old and mature. But I'm excited about those young receivers for sure.
Coach Pearl, you've been championing the everything school mantra for a while now. Would you be willing to say that between Auburn basketball and football, you have the best combined home environments for either program in the entire country?
Yeah, I think it's safe to say. They're very special places with great history and tradition in football and more recent history and tradition, as Neville's a younger building. It speaks to our fans, it speaks to our students, and, you know, just your coach and I really believe that we absolutely cannot do this without Auburn family. We can't. I could not do it. Coach can't get this thing going unless our fans are supporting us, loving on our kids, patience, support NIL, all of the traveling when we travel, and that's what's allowed us to, you know, develop a really competitive basketball program. Has been great support, and our players feel it.
Coach Freeze, bringing Kelvin Fault to SEC Media Days. It's rare to bring a sophomore. Yeah. You must see some intangibles off the field of leadership besides his physical tools. Talk about that and why he was worthy of being an ambassador for Auburn this week.
Yeah, those are always difficult for me. I wish they would let you bring five people and you go two offense, two defense, and a specialist. That would be a lot easier for coaches, I think. It's hard when you're doing three. There was a lot of deserving people, I felt like, from Connor Lue to Jason Jones to obviously Keldrick too, and Keontae Scott. And man, there's a lot of good choices. But when you evaluate people that when you see a team react to the way a certain person leads and talks, and he has captured that defensive line and has really become the voice of J-Mac, don't leave him out. There's a lot that could have come. But in our eyes, Keldrick had just earned it by the way he goes about it, whether it's academics, whether it's his nutrition, whether it's his work ethic, whether it's his vocal leadership and him speaking up to say, no, this is the standard and we got to demand more of that. He has been as consistent as anyone and not more. And we felt like he had earned it.
Coach, one of the themes of the week with Media Days has been Cam Coleman. People are excited. They're talking about starting dynasty modes on the game with Cam Coleman. Talk about the passing game headed into fall camp and what you hope to accomplish. What benchmarks do you hope to hit based on where you finished last year in the passing game with 1,700 yards from the starting quarterback?
Yeah, to me that's not good football, 1,700 yards. And I don't – you know, last year's over. We're a different team. Cam is going to be special. Again, you know, I've coached a lot of really good receivers. And, you know, we signed A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, Van Jefferson, all in the same class. They're all still in the NFL doing really well. But I'll tell you, year one, all three of them were not exactly ready to go and do it. I mean, we redshirted Van, you know, and D.K. didn't play an enormous amount of snaps. A.J. was a little more ready now. But that's what we got into coaching for, is to develop these great athletes like Cam. Now, Cam's going to play in year one. He's earned it. He came out in spring practice. He's one of the better players on the team. I just want everybody to give him a little patience, too, as he grows up and learns the game and has to go play in the SEC environments. But I'm glad he has hype around him. That means we're recruiting the right kind of kids.
All right, Coach Pearl, Coach Freeze, thank you.
Yep. Thank you, guys. Thanks.
So that was head coach Hugh Freeze for Auburn football, head coach Bruce Pearl for Auburn basketball. A week ago today, actually, when we were in Dallas, Texas, that was for the Dallas Ambush event. There was also an event in Houston as well, but that was put on by the Dallas alumni group for Auburn, and we appreciate them allowing us to have that access and join them for their special event and get some really interesting topics and content there from Hugh Freeze and from Bruce Pearl. I'll recap that, kind of react to it a little bit as we are wrapping up hour number one. We'll have that for you when we come back. And then Christian Clemente of Auburn 247 will join us in the studio to get into hour number two, previewing Big Cat Weekend. That's all coming up here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7, and my goodness, it has become a flood outside here in Auburn. And so, again, if you're driving around, just be careful. If you have to leave, be careful. If not, stay inside, huh? I may have to stay at the office longer because it's raining. I mean, it's pouring outside. And look, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I already texted Christian Clemente of Auburn Undercover, who's supposed to be joining us in the studio for hour number two, and I went ahead and told him, I said, man, if it's flooding like it is outside right now, don't run in here, don't get soaked, don't fall and hurt yourself, just give us a call and we'll start the hour with you over the phone. I ain't trying to get somebody hurt and get him on, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to do all that. So hopefully the rain will clear up in just a few minutes when it gets here and we'll get him in the studio for hour number two. We're going to be talking all things Auburn football recruiting, especially with Big Cat Weekend coming up. So you definitely want to stick around for hour number two. Well, before we went to break, I was playing you the audio that I received and that I was able to record last week at the Dallas-Auburn Ambush event with Bruce Pearl and Hugh Freeze. And I think out of the entire piece of audio, right, out of everything that these guys said, between Bruce Pearl talking about their non-conference schedule and Hugh Freeze right there at the end of that piece of audio that I just played for you, Hugh Freeze talking about this receiver room. And yes, I know this has been something we've talked about since the end of last year, since the recruiting class was signed back in December. But Hugh Freeze was asked about Cam Coleman and went out of his way to talk about how Cam Coleman is not just one of the best receivers on the team, he's one of the best players on the team. Think about that for just a second. A freshman receiver who stepped on campus last winter, he is already one of the best players on Auburn's football team. And I think that's good and that's bad, right? It's good in terms of, great, Cam Coleman's going to be awesome, right? Cam Coleman is him. But I could be taken in a bad way just because of the fact that, okay, a freshman wide receiver steps in and he's already one of the better players on the team. I don't think that's as bad as we think it is. I don't think it's as bad as that sounds. I really don't. I think it is more of a compliment to Cam Coleman rather than a negative comment about the rest of the roster. I just think Cam Coleman's that good, guys. I really do. And you heard Hugh Freeze say right there, let's give him a little grace. Let's give him a little time. Let's lower our expectations just a little bit, especially early on. But he went back and was comparing during his Ole Miss days of DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, and how even those guys were not ready to play right away. And as good as they were in college, and as good as they became and still are in the NFL, he said day one, their first year at Ole Miss, they were not ready to play. But yet Cam Coleman is. Cam Coleman is ready to play. Cam Coleman's going to start day one, because that's just how good he is. And I want you to think about what DK Metcalf and AJ Brown became at Ole Miss and what they were in the NFL. That's what we're talking about with Cam Coleman. That's why a year ago, a year plus, when we were talking about Auburn trying to get Cam Coleman and snatch him from Texas A&M, that's why it was important. And you're going to see it on the field this fall. You're going to see how he separates himself by the end of this thing and becomes that dude, becomes that guy. Cam Coleman's going to be it. But I've told you, I don't think it'll be immediately. I think it'll be towards the end of the season. And that's okay, because he is a young freshman. He does need some time to get his feet underneath him. But once he does, the SEC better watch out. And Hugh Freeze is already pumped about what Cam Coleman can bring to the Auburn football offense. Well, coming up in hour number two, I've been telling you all hour long, Christian Clemente of Auburn Undercover, Auburn 247, joins us in the studio. I believe he made it in here dry. We'll see if he can get in here without hurting himself. And we'll have him join us in hour number two, talking all things Auburn football recruiting and previewing Big Cat Weekend. That's all coming up in hour number two.
Is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're staying dry out there in the Auburn Opelika area. Those darn pop-up summer showers, man, they'll get you every time, I'm telling you what. And it is quite nasty outside. And so if you're out and about, I've been saying it, just be careful. If you don't have to leave, don't. That's my recommendation. But hope you're doing well as we get into hour number two here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. If you missed any of hour number one, you can catch up with the podcast. You'll find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com. It's just the show published there in case that you weren't able to catch all of it. We talked about, what did we talk about in the first hour? We had some audio from Hugh Freeze and Bruce Pearl when I was out in Dallas last week at the Ambush event. Heard Bruce talk a little bit about this year's team and the non-conference schedule, and Hugh Freeze talking about a lot of the players. Got some injury updates there that became public as well, and so that was in the first hour, and told you a little bit of my thoughts about this upcoming weekend for Big Cat, but my thoughts don't really matter when you have this guy step in the studio, and excited to get him back in here. It's been a little bit since we've had him, but perfect timing for him. It's Christian Clemente of Auburn Undercover, Auburn 247, our recruiting guru here on ESPN 106.7. My man, it's great to see you. How are you?
I'm doing good. Enjoying this beautiful Wednesday.
Shut up.
To be here. No, it's been, look, I mean, it was incredible this morning. I was telling you, I went and hit the driving range for a little bit just to calm some nerves and relax a little bit before the busy weekend. But now it's, for like the last week and a half, one of those big thunderstorms rolls on through. But fingers crossed, it looks like Saturday should be clear for the most part, I think, in terms of weather, which obviously,
I didn't even think about that. Yeah,
that would, I don't know if Auburn, I haven't figured out exactly what they're doing yet. I'll know more closer to Big Cat, but last year was a scavenger hunt and obviously the pool party. So if it's a huge thunderstorm like this, that would kill both the scavenger hunt and the pool party. So
I would say so. Well, I was telling the people before you got in here, I felt bad because I asked you what yesterday if you could come in, and I didn't know that it was just going to be a downpour when I had you come in the studio. So we appreciate your efforts, and we appreciate you coming in. I know it is a crazy time for you with Big Cat Weekend coming up, with guys that are going to be trickling in over the next several days. Saturday is the big day, right? That's the day that everything is going to be taking place for Auburn, for Hugh Freeze, and this entire football program. And so over this next hour, we're going to kind of catch up on what's been happening. I know the dead period has been going on, and so that month has probably been a nice little time for you, huh, since there's technically no recruiting things going on. There's still news here and there, but not a whole lot happening.
Yeah, it calms down for the most part, which is nice. Obviously, there was some news while I was out on vacation was when Tyler Lockhart and Cardae Smith both decommitted. So as the message boards melted down, I was melting down on the golf course, but that's okay.
That's fine. It happens. Every big piece of news happens when guys like us go on vacation.
Yes,
that's exactly how that works.
But look, there's recruiting never stops. It's 24/7, 365, so you just kind of have to roll out whenever you can and hope for the best. And, you know, Auburn had a couple decommitments, but a guy like Lockhart is going to be back for Big Cat Weekend. Cardae Smith was kind of what we call a mutual parting of ways. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Auburn bounced back by getting an interior offensive line commit in Jacoby Ward, a guy that, in all honesty, he's ranked lower, but we've been saying the whole time he's viewed higher on Auburn's board than Cardae Smith was. And then Hollis Davidson, a guy who's not necessarily ranked the highest, a three-star tight end, but a guy that Auburn obviously lost his commitment after getting it early. And it's so rare to get those recommitments.
Yeah.
And it's honestly rare for a school to even keep pushing. A lot of the times it's a mutual parting, or it's, you know, the kid isn't interested anymore, something like that. But in this case, both sides were still interested, and Auburn ends up getting it done. So those were two, not the biggest, you know, not going to make a ton of headlines nationally, but guys that Auburn wanted, guys that Auburn wanted really badly in the class, and they got them. So,
well, we'll talk about those types of guys and a couple that are committed, a couple decommitments, kind of what all of that means. And then, of course, we're going to get into what this weekend looks like right now, what it could become, and I guess the, you know, best case scenario, worst case scenario, all that sort of stuff. And so here in hour number two, phone lines are open. You can give us a call if you've got questions. As long as Christian's able to answer them, we can. 334-321-1139. You can also shoot me a text if you've got a question about a particular player. That's probably the best way to do that. Just shoot us a text in the On the Line text box, 334-784-1067. Hour number two, each and every day here during On the Line on ESPN, is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. And you can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So we appreciate them bringing the second hour from 3 to 4 each and every day here during On the Line. And you had started talking about Christian while you were on vacation, and so that obviously had direct correlation with why those guys decommitted. You lose two players that were pretty big for Auburn in the class, and you said it, that a ton of Auburn fans started to lose it, flip out a little bit, and rightfully so. That always tends to happen when guys leave, right? People overreact when they commit, and they overreact when they decommit. And so are you able to give any sort of insight on kind of what happened and why this happened, and maybe why it's not the end of the world for Auburn?
Yeah, I mean, look, Hugh Freeze talked about it at Media Days, and he talked about it, I think, at an Ambush event as well. He kind of talked about how he jokingly got on Will Redman, who's kind of the GM of recruiting for Auburn, saying, look, what's going on here? We're kind of in a lull. But that happens in recruiting.
Sure.
Recruiting is a 2 to 3 year cycle for all of these classes. You're not going to be living high the entire time. It's, you're going to have decommitments. Just like Auburn flips kids are going to flip from Auburn. It's,
yeah,
just the way it goes. You're never going to be able to hold on to your full class. I mean, even right now at the end of July, Auburn has 16 commitments. I would bet my bottom dollar that not all of these 16 commitments are going to end up in Auburn's class. That's just the way things go, and that's not intel based. That's just playing the numbers and,
yeah,
playing the way things go.
Sure.
When it comes down to these two, though, Lockhart is a guy who, it was a surprise commitment when he did commit in May, came genuinely out of nowhere, knew he was interested in Auburn, didn't know it was necessarily that high. Mississippi State was viewed as the heavy favorite. That's where his older brother will be a freshman this fall on the football team. Actually, his older brother visited for Big Cat last year, funny enough. He was a surprise visitor.
Oh,
but
one of the many.
Yeah, but there was definitely a lot of, I don't want to say pressure, because that implicates negative sometimes in recruiting, but there was, I don't know how else I would phrase it. There was some pressure. Hey, you should stay home in Mississippi. You should be playing with your brother.
Yeah.
And so even when he had committed to Auburn, that was still kind of on him a little bit. Officially visits Mississippi State the week after he officially visits Auburn. He ends up decommitting. I think what works in Auburn's favor here is he only decommitted. He didn't flip to Mississippi State. Hmm. And look, like I said, he'll be back this weekend for Big Cat Weekend. And so I think it's a little bit of being pulled in different directions. He's got a really strong connection with DJ Durkin, with Hugh Freeze, some of the Mississippi guys that are on Auburn's staff as well. And he really, really likes Auburn. But for good reason as well, just like Auburn is attacking the state of Alabama, Mississippi State and those schools are attacking the state of Mississippi and trying to keep those guys home. So he's got some pressure a little bit to stay back home. So that's kind of Lockhart. And then Carday Smith is a guy who officially visited Auburn. Then he went to go and see USC and officially visited there. Had some interesting opportunities kind of on the table at USC. Came back to Auburn with that, and Auburn wasn't super interested in kind of upping the ante and making him more of a priority, I guess you could say, in different avenues. And he said, look, I'll go somewhere else then. Auburn kind of left it at that and said,
yeah,
you're more than welcome to. I mean, especially on the offensive line, as crazy it is to say, now you're back up to five commitments again with Jacoby Ward, even after you lost Carday Smith.
I mean, Auburn's able to be, like you said, they can be selective.
Yes.
I mean, they literally have the Auburn for the first time in I don't know how long, probably even since you started in your role with covering Auburn recruiting. Yeah. I mean, they can be selective on the offensive line.
Yeah, and I mean, credit to Jake Thornton. He was a guy who this time last year was getting – he was getting trashed on the message boards a little bit.
Getting slammed. Yeah,
recruiting was not going super well for him in year one. And, you know, we had mentioned a lot of times, and we talked about it on this show, that it was kind of a down year in offensive line talent.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of they scraped the bottom of the barrel a little bit, but they found – I mean, the 2024 class they put together was really solid, in my opinion. DeAndre Carter was ranked pretty highly. Favor Edwin is a guy who has loads of potential, and – you know, Alabama really wanted him. Florida really wanted him because they know what he can be.
Right.
And Seth Wilford is a guy coming out of JUCO who has a lot of potential as well. So the 24 class, he pieced it together nicely kind of with what he could. And now in the 25 class, now that he's built up those relationships, worked towards some things, I mean, you've seen what he's been able to do. Tavares Dice was a relatively early commitment. That's one of their prized guys.
It's a big four-star.
Yeah. Brody Scholl ranked as highly as nearly a five-star by On3. I think we have him as a four-star or a really high three-star.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a guy that Auburn loves. Jacoby Ward talks about him. Auburn loves him. Ty Buster is not ranked super highly, but Auburn thinks really, really highly of him. And then you still have Spencer Doland as well, who committed like last October and has just not really said anything since then and quietly flown under the radar. But another in-state guy that they have committed. So
with a lot of these guys and – you know, I'm surprised that you don't see it more now than you have in the past where you see a guy, because you're seeing players commit earlier than ever before. I mean, you're seeing guys commit in, you know, February, March, and April, which it's just so long. There's so much time, right, in between an early spring commit and then by the time their football season starts and then early signing day. Like, there's so many things that happen in between there. I'm surprised you haven't seen more. Maybe there has been. I just haven't seen it, or it's not as public as some of these others, but with guys committing one place, visiting another, decommitting from that place, going to the other place, you know what I'm saying? Just bouncing around like crazy. Is it more than we see, or is it just not happening all that much?
I think it's probably a little more than you see. I mean, it's pretty prevalent, and you know, I've said it on this show before. Credit to Jeffrey Lee, because he was the one who first kind of gave me this phrase, and I totally agree with the way he phrased it, is commitments right now and in recruiting are just public leaders. You're publicly my leader, and there's really not a whole lot to commitments right now. And really until signing day, that's just kind of the way things go, especially in the NIL era. And I mean, look, you talked about February commitments. I mean, you have guys committed in February before their junior year. Like Malik Autry,
so
I mean, he committed in February last year before his junior year.
Yeah.
You talk about the 26 class. I mean, Auburn already has a couple guys there. They committed, you know, like towards the end of their sophomore season. And now they're going to get some more guys in the 26 class this weekend at Big Cat, most likely. And those guys will be going into their junior year. So it's just the recruiting calendar has moved up so much in terms of decisions and when guys are doing things. There's so much guys are going on visits more earlier in their high school career. Guys are cutting down their lists earlier. Guys are making decisions earlier. And then because of that, they're changing their mind and they're decommitting and they're flipping and all that fun stuff. So it's crazy.
I mean, that's so stressful for a coach. I mean, it's why you see their hairs go gray a lot quicker than most jobs. I mean, it's like being the president, man. They age like crazy. And it's because of things like this, where it's like, all right, I've got this guy committed, 2025. He's been with me since February. I'm going to keep reaching out. I'm going to keep talking to him. And then, boom, all of a sudden, he's gone, right? He visits somewhere else. He flips. And you may not even know what's coming down the pipe.
It's recruiting is in with the NIL era and where things are at right now. It is kind of going at an unsustainable rate for the coaches. And, I mean, the NCAA, in a rare credit to them, is starting to recognize how difficult and how much time has to be put into where next year there won't be a – you know, recruiting opens up. It's been a dead period. It opens up for the final week of July.
Mm-hmm.
Next year and moving on, that final week won't open up again. They're saying it's going to
be it.
Yeah, it'll be a dead period all the way through July and August. So the coaches can have a little bit more time to kind of relax and be able to get ready for fall camp a little bit more instead of that final week opening up. So that changes things with Big Cat. You know,
I was just about to say,
it'll have to move into June, or some teams do it in May going into that month. So things will change, and, you know, other schools do their events at the end of July as well. But the NCAA is starting to realize, look, you're killing these coaches.
Yeah, I mean it's we say it such a lax phrase, but it's a 24/7, 365 thing. But that's legit. Like, that's real. Like, it is every single day you have to recruit.
Yeah, and even though it is a dead period, that doesn't mean coaches won't be making phone calls, shooting texts, hopping on Zoom, stuff like that. I mean, I talked with Hollis Davidson before he recommitted to Auburn, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, look, Coach Ben was on a flight out to Hawaii for his vacation, and he was calling me and checking up on me.
Golly.
While he was sitting out there on the tarmac and making sure everything's good. So it never stops, and it's always going. And now that the 25 class is kind of sitting in a decent spot, now you better start working on 26.
So, and you better have an idea of what's in that 27 class, because I guarantee somebody else has already done it, right? And have you had a chance, and we'll get to this and then we'll get to break, have you had a chance to talk with any coaches about the changes in the calendar, the little bit that is coming with the dead period through July, August, and all that? Have you heard anything about their thoughts on all of that?
I haven't. It just recently got passed.
Yeah.
So I haven't heard anything. I know one of our national guys, Tom Loy, wrote a story about it, and I don't think he quoted anybody, but I think he talked to some different people across college football and just gave some anonymous quotes. And for the most part, it sounded like colleges were pretty, I don't want to say, how do I phrase this? They were pretty good with it.
Yeah.
They were pretty okay with being able to move events around and be able to have that extra week, not off all the way, but right. Not where you have to be hosting guys on campus as you're trying to get ready for fall camp and everything like that.
So. Yeah, well, I mean, look, Hugh Freeze has been one of the very vocal coaches in terms of the calendar being messed up. I mean, he's been very, very outspoken about it, about how something's got to change, because it's a part of the job that was always one of the bigger parts, but it has become the biggest part, and it's nonstop all the time for high school recruiting. We're talking with Christian Clemente of Auburn 247, all of our number two, and he's with us when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We continue on with our conversation with Christian Clemente of Auburn 247, Auburn Undercover. Man, it's always great to have you in the studio. Plug, tell everybody where they can find you. Find all your guys' great coverage, because in the next segment, we're getting into Big Cat Weekend. We're talking everything that's going to be happening, and that's going to be the place they want to be.
Yeah, so it's all over. AuburnUndercover.com, Auburn247.com also gets you there. We've already had Big Cat coverage kind of rolling this week a little bit. I did a dozen of the most kind of important or intriguing visitors today.
Okay.
Tomorrow I'm going to do an Auburn Undercover exclusive or a 24/7 sports exclusive. Three things I know, three things I think. Going into Big Cat weekend, I'll have a commit watch story on Friday, kind of detailing the guys that you need to really be watching out for. Maybe some under the radar guys who, look, Big Cat is a weekend that always gets guys excited. It gets guys fired up. And even if they don't commit that weekend, I mean, you go back to last year, DeAndre Carter silently committed to Auburn that weekend.
Yep.
Doesn't go public until like a month later. TJ Lindsey doesn't make it to Big Cat because he can't at IMG Academy, but his parents come down, FaceTime him in, he commits to the coaching staff then, commits a few weeks later. So there's always things going on at Big Cat that the full picture doesn't come out until, I mean, it could be 2 months later, it could be 3 months later, but yeah. It's the recruiting event of the year, and we'll have it all covered for you.
At Auburn Undercover, so go and check that out. We were talking before we went to break just about how the calendar's trying to change in recruiting, and coaches are calling for the changes, and how you believe that it's going at an unsustainable rate. And all things considered, right, Auburn has revived itself in recruiting and on the trail. And I'm sure you've heard tons of stories here in the last year and a half or so just how much better it is for Auburn than what we've seen in recent years.
Yeah, no, it's an incredible turnaround from what Brian Harsin had it to where it is now. I mean, you even just look at the state of Alabama, and it helps that Nick Saban isn't there. And before Alabama fans freak out, Alabama is obviously still recruiting at a very high level under Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah.
But it's more of a national recruiting. They're hitting the West Coast, hitting some of those prior connections that he had at Washington. Hugh Freeze is tapping into the state of Alabama. I'm not saying one works better than the other. I'm just saying that Hugh Freeze is winning the state of Alabama right now in recruiting, which is what he wants to do. And he's making it effective. You look at where Auburn has historically really, really struggled at places in Alabama. Central Phoenix City felt like it was haunted for Auburn, yep. Even though it's 45 minutes down the road. Well, last year they get Cam Coleman, and I don't need to go into what Cam Coleman is. Everybody knows him by now.
Yep.
Last year you get Caleb Harris out of Thompson. This year you're in a really good spot to get Anquan Fagans and Jared Smith out of Thompson. There's another high school powerhouse in Alabama where Auburn has historically struggled. Last year you flip Perry Thompson from Alabama out of Foley High School, the yep. former home of Julio Jones, go down into Mobile, a place that Alabama has made a lot of its money in recruiting and won a lot of battles down there. And then you even look at like the 2026 class, a guy like Anthony Tate Jones, guy like Shedarius Tootle, some guys that are down there in 2026 in the Mobile area where it looks like Auburn can get them in the class early on, and Auburn can keep building up that, I don't want to say pipeline, but can keep getting these state of Alabama guys and bringing them to Auburn.
Heck, repair the pipeline. Build yes. the new pipeline. The pipeline that was ripped out of the ground and didn't exist for 15 years. I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, look at the 25 class. I mean, you got guys like Eric Winters from Enterprise and those types of players, because Auburn just, they were locked out of that area.
I mean, it even goes back to where it kind of changed, obviously, when Hugh Freeze was hired. But like a guy like Keldrick Falk, who was going to go out of the state to go to Florida State. And you think about guys, even in that class, like TJ Parker from Central and Peter Woods from Thompson. Both of those guys go to Clemson. Mm-hmm. Both of those guys who, I'm not saying Auburn gets one or both of them. I'm not saying Auburn can necessarily get either of them. But if it's Hugh Freeze that's here instead of Brian Harsin, Auburn's in a much better position to potentially get those guys instead of being complete non-factors.
Yeah.
Auburn was losing the battles to Alabama in the state of Alabama. And then the guys that Auburn maybe should have gotten were leaving the state to go somewhere else. A guy like Keldrick Falk was all set to go to Florida State until Hugh Freeze arrived. So he's changed things around. And I mean, when you talk about the transfer portal era and the NIL era, personally, I agree with Hugh Freeze's tactic of, you know, building with guys close to home. Mm-hmm. These guys are probably going to be a little bit more loyal, a little more loyal to Auburn, wanting to fight for Auburn a little bit more. So, you know, we'll see the way things work out, but I don't think it's a bad strategy at all.
Well, not to mention that the fact that the state of Alabama, in terms of high school football loaded. Talent, yeah. is loaded each and every year. I mean, it's safe to say top five, right, in the country?
Yeah, I mean, California, Texas, Florida, Alabama, Georgia.
Yeah, there
probably
you go.
Your top five.
Yeah, I mean, and so
not necessarily in that order, but.
I don't think that's a bad order, but I think it just depending on the year. I mean, what was it? Was it not last year, but the year before? Was it the 22 class in Alabama that was ridiculous, or was it the 23 class?
23, because that was the one with James Smith, Quay Russo,
yeah,
the two guys I
yeah.
just mentioned, Keldrick.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, a guy like Jeremiah Cobb, who was a four-star consensus guy, was like the number 15 player in the state.
Gosh. And look what he's become. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I mean, he's going to be a huge part of Auburn's offense this year. It's also hard for me to, and thank God I'm not paid to be a recruiting coach because I couldn't do it, or recruiter in general. But to think ahead to 2026 and 2027, like, you legitimately have to think that far forward. And Auburn's still in so many battles with 2025. Heck, that's what Big Cat Weekend's about, is most of them are 2025 guys. But if you're not, and we said this earlier, if you're not starting in 26 and 27 already, you're behind.
Yes, it's just, it's crazy. I mean, at this point, like, at this stage, Auburn is already offering 2028 guys and starting to
2028, they're freshmen in high school.
Yeah, they're building out that board like a tiny bit, and the 2027 board,
wow,
probably has a good bit of structure already. And that's obviously not just Auburn. That's colleges across the country.
Sure.
That's just where everything is at right now.
I've continued to say, and it's not just in football. It seems to be basketball is really heavy in this too, but you have guys that are wanting to commit before their senior seasons start, right? Football, they're trying to get committed somewhere in August. In basketball, they're trying to get committed somewhere around October, because a lot, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like a lot of these kids are, once the season starts, they don't want to deal with the recruiting side of things anymore.
Yes. Now, that is exactly where they're at, and that's kind of in theory. But then they all figure out once they get into the season, oh, Alabama's hosting Georgia. I might be committed to Florida. Let's just say this is totally random, but mm-hmm. I kind of want to go over to Bryant Denny, and I want to go see that game.
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to be recruited by Alabama, and they still text me every so often. So I kind of want to rekindle that a little bit. Maybe things aren't going so well down in Gainesville. That's not hypothetical. But
no, that is a fact.
But that's just, in theory, they go into their senior year, most of them committed and kind of want to have things shut down. But recruiting goes all the way to signing day for everybody. It's
yeah.
just the way it is.
Well, especially when coaches, like you said, when they're just hitting you up constantly, hey, man, hope you're doing well. Checking yeah. in, just seeing how the yep. senior season's going. Saw your big game the other day, right? I mean, it never stops. It no. never stops for these kids. Well, Big Cat Weekend coming up this weekend on the Plains. And we're going to get a breakdown, a little sneak peek of what could happen on the Plains with Christian Clemente of Auburn 247. We've got 30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
On the Line with Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, joined by Christian Clemente of Auburn 247, Auburn Undercover, and we're getting into Big Cat Weekend conversation, talking about guys that are at least confirmed that are going to be here, maybe some expectations and some highs and some lows. But before we do that, this guy's got a question for, belief for you, Christian. Terry, you're on the line, man. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How's it going?
It's going well. Good to hear from you, my man.
Good to talk to you, Jake. Christian, hey, how y'all doing? Well, great to talk to y'all. Jake, I got a question for you first.
Okay.
You were out in Dallas last week. Did you get a chance to sample some Texas barbecue?
I unfortunately did not. I did get a chance to go to In-N-Out for the first time, which was the best fast food cheeseburger I've ever had in my life. I also went to a very nice steakhouse Wednesday night in downtown Dallas, and so I didn't get any barbecue, but I was fed very well.
Now, I flew through Dallas several times going to San Antonio, so I know what about the area.
Okay.
So, Christian, has Auburn pretty much given up on the idea of a quarterback in this class? Have y'all touched on this? I'm sorry. I've just now tuned in. I got caught in that massive rainstorm you just saw.
Yeah, no, I don't. We haven't gotten into the quarterback conversation yet. Go ahead, Christian.
Yeah, no. good that you're getting through that rainstorm. It was crazy, but no, they have not given up on a quarterback. And while I'm not sure if there will be one here this weekend, I still personally think that Auburn will flip one of KJ Lacy from Texas or Deuce Knight from Notre Dame. Just from the conversations that I'm having with people that know a whole lot more than I do, there's certainly some confidence that they can still get one of those guys and get them within, you know, maybe the next month or so before the high school football season kicks off. So I definitely understand the question and people getting concerned about the quarterback position. And I'm not saying it's a guarantee by any means, but people that know a whole lot more than I do still think they'll get one of those two guys in the class.
Now, look, I know it's a reach, but I still think the guy to Georgia, what's his name? Lewis, Juju Lewis?
Oh, Juju. Yeah.
I still think he gets out there to USC and gets homesick, ends up back in this area of the country. That's my opinion. But the transfer portal, who knows what will happen.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, and you know, that's the huge part of recruiting now is, and I think Christian has talked about this on this show, where, okay, you missed out on that kid. That's it hurts, it sucks, whatever. But if you just at least keep a mutual good relationship, right? If he picks somewhere else, don't tell him to kick rocks. Then if it doesn't work out, then, yeah, you may be his first option when he decides to leave after a year or two. And that's almost next level recruiting, where can you take your pettiness away? Can you take the sour feelings out and just tell a kid, congratulations, we're happy for you. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, you always have a home at Auburn.
And the thing I like the most, I think Auburn's biggest need has been offensive and defensive linemen. That seems to be what this staff addresses the most.
Yeah, I think this staff has done a great job of building up the way the vision that they've kind of had in terms of last year. You focus on, you know, skill position a little bit more, get those wide receivers in. And obviously it hasn't worked out perfectly, but in theory, you've kind of used those wide receivers in quarterback recruiting this year. Obviously still don't have your guy, but that's kind of your main attractor a little bit. Look, you have all of these guys to come play with. And then you just mentioned it, Terry, the offensive line, you've got five guys. You say, look, we've got receivers for you. We've got an offensive line built out for you. Literally five guys committed. We've got an offensive line for you. Oh, and by the way, we're building a really strong defense that's going to get the ball right back to you as well. So
now, Chris, I hate to put you on the spot, but I'm going to ask you and Jacob this question. Is Auburn's 2025 starting quarterback on the roster right now?
Ooh, 2025.
I'm going to say no.
I'll say no for 2025, yes for 2026. There you go.
Ooh.
Okay, wow. Okay.
How about that, Terry?
Yeah, that's wow. I've scared out of past 2025, right, Chris?
I'm telling you. Terry,
you great, have a great day.
Thanks so much, man. Great to hear from you. 334-321-1390. You can call in there. You can send us a text, 334-784-1067. And that's a good transition into Big Cat Weekend, which is the biggest story right now in terms of Auburn football with recruiting. This weekend historically has been very, very successful for Auburn. There's been a couple that were, you know, not so great, but most of them have been phenomenal. And it's just become, in my opinion, it's become one of the elite recruiting weekends in all of college football.
Yeah, I mean, there's not every school. Every school does a little event. Alabama does its cookout. Ole Miss now calls it Juice Fest because everything is based around that dog. But
sheesh.
Everyone does something to an extent. But a lot of schools do their events earlier in the year. Georgia does its big scavenger hunt kind of in the middle of May going into the summer. Auburn is one of the main schools that still kind of holds its event, its premier event, at the end of July. And so Big Cat Weekend, especially when you have a lot of buzz around it, or when you have a lot of buzz around your class or your school or whatever, it has guys wanting to be there. And when it's an invite-only event, it becomes more exclusive. And, you know, you see, like, I think what's made it so easy for Auburn to get guys to confirm that they're coming to the event this year is honestly the success of last year's event. The viral video of Perry Thompson flipping and Hugh Freeze getting thrown in the pool. And guys are looking at that and they're like, okay, so Auburn just went and flipped a really, really, really good receiver from Alabama. And they're throwing the head coach in the pool last year and everyone's yelling and having a good time. Like,
it's something they want to be a part of.
Yeah, they're like, okay, well, I want to be a Big Cat. Like,
yeah.
That looks like a lot of fun. So it's an event that definitely has a lot of aura around it and a lot of players that want to be there. And, you know, I'm sure Auburn would love to. They do a good job of keeping it, getting a lot of top guys in, but still keeping it as an exclusive kind of feel where it's, you know, 50 to 60 to maybe 70 guys, but it's all really elite guys. There aren't many guys that if they tried to commit that day, Auburn would be like, oh, let's wait a little bit.
Hold on, we got to go check the records and we got to go check our numbers, make sure we could take you. They'll probably take anything. Yeah,
it's a lot of guys that Auburn, if those guys wanted to commit it, Auburn would be very excited to add them that day.
And the thing I always go back to with Big Cat is this is not a camp, right? This is not a, hey, let's sit and talk X's and O's and look at game planning and look how you're going to fit in our system. This is a family fun, relaxed event. That's what That's what Big Cat Weekend has always been, and that's what makes it, I think, different than anything else.
Completely agree. The thing about, you know, all these unofficial visits, and official visits families do come with usually, as long as they're able to. Sometimes it's a coach or whatever. Unofficial visits, honestly, a lot of the times it's just it's a kid driving up or something like that for a visit. Big Cat Weekend is the opportunity for the whole family to come with, you know, younger brother, older sister, mom and dad, grandma, whoever. Everybody's coming with. They're hanging with the coach. They're hanging with the coach's wife. The coach's kids maybe are there. Everybody's there. Everybody's – it's a – you know, Auburn always says Auburn family and the Auburn environment. This is that event kind of – perfectly put together, I guess you could say.
So going into the weekend, Saturday's the big day, right? Saturday's the day that everything is taking place, the actual events. But we expect guys to start trickling in over the next few days. And some guys linger around on that Sunday, but pretty much everybody dips out then. What can you tell us in terms of guys that we know are coming to Big Cat Weekend? I know there's always surprises. I know there's always some that are kind of on the secretive side, which is fine. I get it. I know the business. But in terms of guys we know are going to be a Big Cat, what can you tell us?
Yeah, honestly, I want to touch on the surprise thing first. That might be one of the most fun parts about Big Cat Weekend is for us just to see who's that?
Yeah, I mean, there's guys you don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, like last year, I mentioned Lockhart's older brother had no idea really who he was. And then a big 6'8", 350-pound man-child walks in. It's like, okay, well,
who the heck is that?
Yeah, it's like, who's that? And then, like, Nykar visited for Big Cat last year, the Georgia commit at the time. And it's like, wait a minute, is that Nykar? So the surprise part is a lot of fun because there's guys that we honestly do not know are going to show up.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do our best to figure out as many people as possible and cross every box, dot every T, not dot every T, dot every I.
You can dot your T's if you want to.
Yeah, you can. But look, we're doing everything. That's the point. But surprises show up. But in terms of the list we already have this year, I mean, five-star edge rusher Jared Smith. He's going to announce a commitment on August 3rd. Think Auburn is pretty heavy favorite there. Four-star wide receiver Derek Smith, the Alabama commit. Alabama's recruiting him as a safety. Auburn likes him as a wide receiver. I think Auburn sits in a better spot there than some people may think. Anquan Fagans, the four-star safety, another Thompson guy with Jared Smith. He's going to commit on the 29th. Auburn trying to hold off LSU there, sit in a good spot. Blake Woodby's going to be back, the former Ohio State commit.
Yeah.
Visited twice in June. He'll be back.
What a roller coaster that's been.
Yeah, but I think Auburn's in a good spot there. We talked about Lockhart. There's some other guys in 25, and then honestly, the 2026 list is extremely loaded. You got five-star safety Zealous Hicks, five-star edge rusher Anthony Take Jones, five-star edge rusher Jordan Carter, four-star edge rusher Hezekiah Harris, who's a top 32 player in the country. He's number 22.
Okay.
So if that ranking holds, he would be a five-star. He's a guy that we think there could be some movement with this weekend. Same goes for four-star linebacker Jamichael Garrett out of Gulf Shores.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a guy we think Auburn can make a move with. Mentioned Shedarius Tootle earlier. I mean, just going down the list, there are so many names. Xavier Tiller from Langston Hughes, Zion Gibson from Gadsden City, Jaquez Wilkes from Wadley, Vodney Cleveland from Prattville. There's going to be so many people there, a lot of state of Alabama guys that are really good. So
I mean, just tons of guys on that list from, and look, what excites me is, yeah, there's a lot of 25s, but as you were saying, there's a lot of 26 guys in there as well. And as we've talked a lot about during this hour, you have to think about the future, not just this next class. I mean, the 25 class as of right now, Auburn's got 16 commits. Yep. Is that right? And ranked, you guys have them around 15, I think, for 15, Auburn.
15 right now. I think Auburn should get a run of three, maybe four more guys within the next couple weeks there.
Okay.
And once they go on that run, they'll be, you know, playing with the class calculator, which does not take into account the fact that other schools will also get guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would put Auburn around, you know, 19 to 20 commitments and anywhere from 5 to 8 in the country. So they'll be back more on track for where Hugh Freeze wants them.
Do you think that'll end up being like close to that final number by the time the class is completely solidified?
I think when the class ends, Auburn will be anywhere from, I'll say 4 to 8. I think they could crack in the top five.
Okay, in the country. Okay. Yeah. I mean, well, what a – I mean, Freeze has talked about it, right? He's talked about that's what he wants to do. He wanted to get – revive the recruiting class that he took over, get into that top 10, and then push for top five. And, I mean, if he could do that in 2025, I'm not going to say a miracle, but what a job that would be.
It would be a quick turnaround. And, you know, the funny thing is in 2026, they're in a really, really good spot as well. They have those two early commitments. And again, this does not take into account the fact that other schools can also get guys this weekend. But if Auburn gets, you know, right now we think Auburn is the favorite for Hezekiah Harris and think that a decision could come potentially this weekend for him. Same goes for Jamichael Garrett, and same goes for Shedarius Tootle. Mm-hmm. If Auburn got all three of those guys, they would be one of only two schools tied with Florida State that has five commitments in the 2026 class.
Jeez.
As of right now, and Auburn's class would be number one in the country. Again, that does not take into account other schools getting guys.
You heard it. Like Auburn's got the number one class. They're the best in the country. 2026, Auburn owns it. You heard it right there. He said it in his own words. Christian Clemente. I heard it myself. I heard it. No. That you just start talking about those types of topics and conversations and numbers and rankings. Like it's so foreign from what we've seen the last handful of years, and it's just refreshing, man. We've used that word a lot when you're in here, but it's just refreshing to see.
It's recruiting at a totally different level, and it's kind of been an adjustment for fans and people on the message board a little bit, and they're like, well, why is Malik Autry going to visit Ohio State? If he's committed, why is he visiting this school? Look, if you're in a high-level recruitment, if you're in a high-level recruitment, kids are going to go visit somewhere else. They're going to hear out other schools.
Yeah.
They're going to hear out Ohio State. They're going to hear out Alabama. They're going to hear out Georgia. And you're going to be battling those schools. I mean, these are really high-level, difficult recruitments to win. I mean, think about Eric Winters. That's a guy that Auburn has felt really confident that they were going to land since mid to late fall of last year.
Mm-hmm.
But because Georgia was pushing so hard, because Miami started pushing so hard, it ended up going all the way to June before Auburn could end up getting him. And, you know, Auburn was confident the whole way, but it took that long just because it's a battle. It's an absolute battle.
Yeah, and it's that way all the time. Before we get to break, given the guys we know that are going to be there, and, of course, with the surprises that will show up and everything like that, in your opinion, what does a successful Big Cat weekend in 2024 look like this weekend for Auburn?
Ooh, that's a good question. It's hard to follow up.
It's a tough question. Yeah, last year was unbelievable.
It's so hard to replicate flipping at the time, five-star receiver from Alabama and also getting Malcolm Simmons.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, DeMarcus Riddick was right before it.
That's right. I forgot he committed right before Big Cat. Yeah.
And you set up all the guys along the way. But I think a successful Big Cat weekend would be leaving Saturday with two more commitments, whether it's 2025 and 2026, and then making sure you've laid the groundwork well enough to get Fagans on the 29th, to get Jared Smith on August 3rd, and then probably having another two guys in the back pocket for a couple weeks after that or something like that, getting a couple more silent commitments for the next month or so after that, you know, whatever it may be. I think if you leave Saturday with two commitments and two high-level commitments at that, which it's pretty much all high-level players that are going to be there,
right?
I think you can be pretty happy with that and think about the buzz moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, is it a growing trend? Is it a growing trend for some of these big time guys who don't want to make their commitment vocal and I guess public? That's where I was looking for. I mean, do you see that possibly happening here with anybody? I mean, it's not public knowledge, but you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, the difficulty about getting commitments on Big Cat now is a Big Cat commitment is fun, but a lot of these guys want to do a ceremony at their school. They want to be around friends or family.
That's
they
true.
They want to go live on, you know, the On 3 or the 24/7 YouTube channel.
Yeah, they want to make it an event. Yeah,
they want to make it an event. Ceremonies are honestly coming back a little bit in recruiting. Guys want to do that a little bit more. So
bring back ceremonies.
Yeah, they want their hats on the table a little bit. So you can definitely get some guys at Big Cat, and I fully expect Auburn to get one or two and probably a couple more than that. Not a couple, maybe a couple more than that on Saturday, depending on how things go. But I think they will lay the groundwork very well for the next month or two after Big Cat as well.
Looking forward to it. Big Cat weekend for Auburn football on the Plains. It starts on Saturday. We'll have tons of updates for you when we get back next week. And who knows what's going to happen, commitments or just, you know, moving in the right direction if Auburn can make some momentum and gain some momentum this weekend for Big Cat weekend. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap up our conversation with Christian Clemente here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. It's been a little bit different, Christian. You normally are with me in the first hour of our shows, but we had some things to get through in the first hour, so we appreciate you joining us in hour number two. I had a question real quick before we get out of here. In your opinion, talk about a question in terms of quarterbacks. And in your opinion, if Auburn, and this is from John in Auburn, if Auburn misses on the two high school quarterbacks, he says transfer, but I think he meant the high school quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Will Auburn sign a lower ranked QB in the class, try to get a rental starter for 2025, or would they go with Hank Brown or Walker White?
Yeah, so I think even if Auburn got one of KJ Lacy or Deuce Knight, or even Julian Lewis, throw him out there still, I guess. I still think no matter what, they'll get a portal quarterback who will be, you know, what level portal quarterback they get for 25, I don't know, but I think no matter what, they'll get a guy with Peyton Thorne leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a wide open competition for 25, so it's really hard to say. Personally, think it would be a portal guy who would start, but you know, who knows, maybe Walker or Holden or Hank Brown or somebody really takes a step forward, or you know, maybe they get a 25 guy that's ready to roll right away and impresses. In terms of a lower rated guy, there's no one that I know of. Auburn would circle back on. You know, that's not to say that there isn't a guy out there. That's not to say I know everything for that matter, but there's just no one that I know of at this time.
So. Okay. Well, there you go. So insight on what quarterback room could look like for Auburn. Enjoy this weekend, my man. You're going to be busy. Get your sleep because it starts pretty much tomorrow and Friday for you, and Saturday's the big day.
Yeah, I'm not a coffee drinker, but that will change this
Red
weekend.
Red Bull, my man. Red Bull is a perfect replacement for that.
There's way too much sugar in that. Honestly, I'll probably get like a smoothie. Like I love
smoothie?
A good fresh fruit smoothie
from Smoothie King.
That'll fuel me for the day.
What kind of kick do you get from a smoothie?
You get some nice sugar from fresh fruit. You get some protein powder in there. You're good to go.
Oh, my gosh. A smoothie. This guy said, you know, I don't drink coffee or Red Bull, but when I need my energy, I drink a smoothie. Goodness.
I think you're going to get a lot of texts and calls about this tomorrow on the show. A lot of smoothie defenders out there.
Like, I'm not hating on smoothies, but man, you got a 12-hour drive in the car. You stop at the gas station. You say, hey, do you have any smoothies?
Probably not, but... If I, I mean, I'm just not going to drink caffeine at that point.
That's fair. Well, hey, plug everything. Tell people where to find all your great coverage this weekend for Big Cat.
Yep, all over at auburnundercover.com, auburn247.com gets you there as well.
Awesome. Christian Clemente, our recruiting guru in the studio here in hour number two. If you missed any of it, go to ESPNAU.com. You can catch up there and get your insight on Big Cat weekend coming up on the Plains. I'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, stay safe, stay dry. I'll talk to you later.